RNZ Pacific News. Bula Vinaka, I'm Susana Suisuiki. The island of Tanna in the south of Vanuatu is in need of specialised equipment to restore power after the passage of the two devastating tropical cyclones, Judy and Kevin. A month after these cyclones, 80% of electricity has been restored. But Vanuatu's Department of Energy Director, Anthony Garai, says he needs more material and staff to finish another 2 weeks of work.
Additional personnel, specialised equipment and spare cables and so forth so that they can assist us in pre-planting poles, low-voltage bulbs, high-voltage bulbs and also new cables, low-voltage and high-voltage cables.
Fiji's Prime Minister Sitiu Vini Rambuka has paid tribute to the late Ratu Epelingani Lau in Parliament. The former chairman of the Great Council passed away last Thursday, aged 71. Epili held a number of high-ranking positions, including Army Chief of Staff in 1987. Rambuka commended Epili for his contributions.
He was a noble representative of the family, an illustrious member of Vanuatu Konrobe, and a distinguished military leader. We pray that he will rest in God's eternal peace.
The grounding of Asia Pacific Airlines, leaving the Marshall Islands with no air cargo service, is entering its ninth week. The move has bottlenecked mail as well as medicines and hospital supplies and has shut down the multi-million dollar exports of fresh tuna. Kuroi Hawkins reports.
Health Secretary Jack Neanderthal said at the weekend the main hospital was 10 days from running out of HIV treatment medications and other essential drugs. He says numerous orders are stuck in Guam or Honolulu waiting for air delivery service to Majuro. Aviation Task Force member Jerry Kramer says Nauru Airlines and United Airlines officials initiated preliminary discussions late last week about possible mail and cargo options in the short term to alleviate the current cargo roadblock.
A joint force of Indonesian military and police are claiming to have shot dead a member of the West Papua National Liberation Army in Central Papua Province on Wednesday last week. Kuroi Hawkins has more.
A Papua police spokesperson, Senior Commander Ignatius Beni Adi Prabowo, told GBTV the aerial surveillance team spotted a group of people carrying firearms who they suspected were TPNPB, and a firefight ensued. According to the commander, the body of a suspected Liberation Army member was only found when the security forces swept the location of the firefight. But a spokesperson for the West Papua Liberation Army, Sebi Sambom, has denied any involvement in the incident and says Indonesian military and police forces have killed an innocent civilian.
A new app has been unveiled to help count the number of coastal fisheries species sold on markets around the Pacific region. Presented at the Head of Fisheries meeting last week, the Ikasavia app uses AI photography to quickly identify the species, saving hours of paperwork. SPC Senior Coastal Fisheries Scientist Dr. Andrew Halford says the app has been further improved to also identify invertebrates.
One of the bigger breakthroughs in that is that we've spent quite a bit of time trying to do this with invertebrates as well, so lobsters, mud crabs, that sort of thing. We've been able to sort of do some work in that area and work out that just by the simple addition of a coin of known dimensions, you sit on top of the crab or the lobster, we can do an automatic conversion so that you can get accurate lengths.
In New Zealand, an elderly Auckland couple is facing months of living in a storm-damaged house with parts of a tree coming through a wall. They've been told by the Earthquake Commission that it may be the end of the year before they can get a cost estimate for repairs. Auckland Council also won't give permission to remove the tree because of the risk from a slip. 76-year-old Rob Gaston, who's almost blind, wants a solution before the cold weather sets in.
Can you imagine going through winter with it like this? And all the water getting into the spare bedroom all winter and living with rats all winter.
The couple don't want to exhaust their insurance payout for accommodation assistance, fearing they would desperately need it during the coldest months. In world news, Ukrainian security officials have accused Russia of making Belarus a nuclear hostage after the Russian President Vladimir Putin said he would station nuclear weapons there. The Secretary of Ukraine's National Defense Council, Oleksiy Danilov, and the exiled Belarusian opposition leader both strongly criticized Moscow's deployment. The BBC's Sasha Schlichter reports.
Oleksiy Danilov was blunt. The deployment will make Belarus a nuclear hostage, destabilize it and deprive it of its sovereignty. Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, the presumed winner of the 2020 presidential election, in a statement from exile, called the move unacceptable, saying it would make Belarus a potential target for retaliatory strikes. It's the first time Moscow will have stationed such arms outside its territory in 3 decades. When the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia dismantled most of its tactical nuclear warheads, but its current stock is still 10 times bigger than that of Washington.
To sports, one of Australia's most exciting MMA prospects, Isi the Dox Fitigefu, is a former NRL prospect. Fitigefu had a surprise split decision loss to Kyrgyzstan champion fighter Ruslan Emelbekulu last year and is looking to make up for that when he faces Brazilian fighter Valmir da Silva on April 22nd. A former NRL prospect for the Cronulla Sharks, Fitigefu says mixed martial arts is a more demanding sport than rugby league.
In combat sports, you know you're going to get hit hard. So, but the training is more intense in combat sports. In rugby league, you sort of get hard behind the other players and walk a little bit. In combat sports, you get exposed. You have one little breather, that they jump on top of you like a tiger.
Fitigefu's fight against Silva will take place in Singapore as one of several non-title bouts in the One Fight Nine event. And finally, the Rugby League World Cup final between Australia and Samoa could happen again if the proposed Four Nations concept gets the green light. The Sydney Morning Herald reported that a secret plan has been drafted for Mal Meninga's World Cup winning Kangaroos to take on New Zealand, Samoa and Tonga during a 4-week tournament in 2023. International Rugby League, NRL and New Zealand Rugby League officials have discussed the format, which will be played in Australia and New Zealand. The competition will be seen as a crucial platform for the next World Cup, which will be held in 2025. And that is your RNZ Pacific News and Sports. To read or to listen to more of our stories online, head over to rnzi.com.